This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie. This week on the Doggy Diva Show, have you ever considered hedgehogs as pets? Also, if you like to read a good mystery, we have the recent release from best-selling author Sparkle Abbey and the latest on a disease that affects pets and humans. That's what's on our show today. Let's go. Monica, there's a little bitty pet that I think is so sweet, and I know you have one, and it's a perfect pet, I think, for kids, and they're just so adorable, and I don't think people know enough about them. How about if we talk about hedgehogs?
Yes, we have a hedgehog. Her name is Chocolate Bar. That's what my daughter named her. Chocolate Bar was a Christmas present from Santa, and it was actually about 4 years ago now, and I just thought it was the honest little request because she had been online and saw these cute YouTube videos of these adorable little hedgehogs floating in the little tub of water and wearing little, you know, shark fins and little outfits. And she's like, mom. And she went to go see Santa and she's like, I want a hedgehog. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, oh Lord, help me now. But I tell you, it has been one of the coolest little pets. So when my daughter started requesting this pet, of course, I went online and started kind of educating myself because, you know, even though I've worked for a veterinary office for years, we do not see exotic pets, and hedgehogs are technically considered an exotic pet. So, you know, the veterinary I work for, you know, he, you know, with Dr. Reinhardt, knew about hedgehogs. He had had basic care instructions, but we don't see a lot of them here. So went through, did some research, and we got a hedgehog. One thing that, you know, people always ask when it comes to hedgehogs is, you know, do you pet them? Are they friendly? You know, they see all the quills and they get it kind of overwhelmed, and, you know, do they even make a pet, or are they social? And the answer is yes. They are extremely great pets. And believe it or not, they're great pets for kids. It's a great pet to kind of learn how to care for pets. They are very affectionate, even, you know, being, you know, in this little protective shell surrounded by quills, they're still very, very sweet, affectionate animals. One thing about hedgehogs is their sight is not the best, but they have a very, very keen sense of smell. And a lot of times they adapt through smells. So when we first got the hedgehog, before we, you know, let my daughter see it or interact with it, I actually put one of her shirts that she had worn in the cage with the hedgehog and kind of got her used to her scent. And hedgehogs will attract and kind of bond with people over scents. They get to know the scent of your skin and the scent of your clothing and just the scent of you. And that kind of puts them at ease when it's that familiar scent and that familiar surrounding. And when you first handle hedgehogs, they do get scared and they, you know, kind of curl up in their ball and they'll actually kind of puff is what they call it. And it's kind of their defense mechanism. So if they get scared, they'll just kind of, and it's just like this kind of airy kind of sound. It's very, very, you know, low and quiet. They don't growl or chirp or, you know, make a lot of noises. It's just kind of the huff, you know, kind of a small little huff puff that they give off, and they curl up in the ball. And that kind of, you know, the kind of jumping effect is what, you know, wards off predators, and they have their quills to kind of, you know, give themselves a defense mechanism.
Monica, can you tell us a little bit about what they eat? And I think another thing is the size. I don't think people know how big, how little they are, really.
They are. They do stay pretty little, too. Now, hedgehogs can kind of be known for getting obese. So you do have to kind of control how much they eat, make sure they don't get too fat. However, they stay pretty small. They're smaller than guinea pigs, you know, usually about, you know, the gerbil hamster size. If they do not get, you know, they're not going to get any taller. They can always get rounder, you know, same with our, you know, other furry animals. One thing that's really important too about hedgehogs is their legs. That's where you get the most injuries in hedgehogs. They have in their mass of their body size compared to their little tiny legs. That's where they get in trouble. So having an exercisor, because they're very big in exercise, having an exercisor that has no wires, nothing that their feet can slide in between. So when you get their cage and their bedding and their house all set up, you want to have one of those flat or solid plastic exercisors. And they have these ones for hedgehogs that are actually, it looks like a little spaceship. Like it's a round circle, but instead of being an exercisor that is tall that goes on the side of the cage, this one actually has the base on the bottom and the whole top of it's open. So it's a little circle that's made of plastic and they just get on there and they run and it spins around in a little circle. And it looks super cute. One thing about hedgehogs too is, you know, how you have their housing is really... Sometimes it's not as difficult as it seems. You know, you think you're going to have, you know, rabbit bedding or something like that in there. Some of like the Carefresh stuff, you know, with the plastic shavings or wood shavings. Hedgehogs are very easily potty trained. My hedgehog is potty trained. Took about a month. One of the best tips that I saw on a hedgehog site was that when the hedgehog exercises and they love to exercise, they're always on that wheel at night. And one thing a lot of people, you know, to be aware of hedgehogs is they're nocturnal. So they sleep during the day, they're up at night. And generally like 6-7 o'clock, our hedgehog starts getting up, it starts eating. But by 9 or 10, that thing is crazy on that treadmill, loves it. And she gets on there and they go to the bathroom when they exercise. So what I did was I took an extra litter box and I got a larger size one, not like the hamster size, but I got like the rabbit iguana size. So the little exercisor that they exercise on can go inside the litter box. So I put the litter in there and I just use like the recycled paper pellet litter. It's all natural. They can't eat it. You don't want to use like a corn cob litter or a clay litter with them because sometimes they will eat the litter. So I always use like this, you know, recycled paper pellets with them, put the exercisor in there. So whenever they went on the exercisor, it would fly off into the litter box and then it would smell the litter in there. And the size litter box that I have is big enough for the exercisor and then also for her to climb in and out of and have a little space. So she gets in, she has enough room to walk to the exercisor, but she also has enough room to go to the bathroom in there as well. So when, you know, the droppings come off the exercisor, she was smelling it and she was going back in and going in the same spot because that's what they do. They'll identify spots and then they continue going in the same spot. Took about maybe 2-3 weeks of doing that and there was no more messes in the cage. I mean, it was so easy potty training this hedgehog. And I mean, I don't think I have like a genius hedgehog. I think they're all pretty, you know, standard as far as that's concerned. But it's a great little pet. And I mean, we take it out. They should have baths on a regular basis, generally like once a month. And we always bathe them in like the Aveeno oatmeal because they can get drier skin. And then besides that, we've got a little toothbrush that's Chocolate Bar's toothbrush. And we put her in the kitchen, you know, kitchen sink. And we put a little bit of warm water. And, you know, we just scrub her with the toothbrush. You know, it cleans off all of her little bristles and all of her quills. And, you know, they do really, really well that day, that way. And, you know, in regards to diets, she eats a high-end cat diet. They make hedgehog diets as well, but they can absolutely eat cat food. They love their mealworms. Love, love, love their mealworms. That is her favorite treat in the whole world. She will do anything and go anywhere for a mealworm. Some of them love a lot of extra stuff too. You know, berries, you know, lettuce, celery. Chocolate Bar likes the leaves that come off the celery sticks. So when we got celery at home, she always gets the stalky, leafy part that we throw away, and she loves that. She really likes spinach. She likes raspberries. So you can definitely, you know, give them little treats. But they are really, really good pets. And the more with them, the friendlier they become, the more you handle them. So if you have a hedgehog, you definitely want to handle it. And we're talking a daily basis. That is the one commitment that if you get a hedgehog, you have to be committed to doing. It has to have that personal touch, that scent, that smell on a regular basis, because their schedules go very quickly. So let's say you handle it a ton, and then all of a sudden for a week, nobody touches it. They can kind of revert back into being more seclusive and not enjoying being handled when they're not handled on a regular basis. So you always want to handle them on a regular basis. And if they're not comfortable, you know, just picking them up, you know, without something, you know, like when Haley first got hers, I just put little mittens on her hands. So that way it was just, you know, a little layer of soft protection. And, you know, she picked her up. I always showed her, you know, just reach underneath her belly because their bellies are very, very soft. You know, the other hand on the outside of the quill. So she felt protected and she was able to, you know, reach up. She, you know, would carry it around in little blankets. It'll run around the house. But it's great and it gets along great with my cat is like her best friend. And the cat uses the hedgehog as her brush. So she quite frequently has cat hair in her quills because the cat brushes and rubs against her. But they are wonderful, wonderful little pets.
That's so good to know. And the fact that it could be potty trained is like absolutely amazing. And I think that they're the cutest little things. I met a hedgehog rescue, a little group before, and I met their hedgehogs and they're like little cats are, I mean, they're like little pets. They knew who they were. They were because I'd had hamsters, gerbils, rabbits, you know, I've had all different things in my guinea pigs in my lifetime, but I'd never seen a hedgehog. And then when you got your hedgehog, it amazed me how they acclimate like a true pet. So I think it's a great idea. And I thank you for bringing that to us. I love the idea of the hedgehog and Chocolate Bar.
I know. I mean, like I said, they're wonderful pets and they have the perfect schedule. I mean, kids are at school during the day. That's when they sleep. That's when they're nocturnal. They get home in the evenings. They can, you know, have that time together for a little while. Then they go to bed and the hedgehog kind of does its thing. So it's a great starter pet and it's really a great pet that if you're looking for a pet that is not extremely high maintenance, I mean, we're talking about spending, you know, just a couple minutes a night with the pet, you know, giving it some attention and having that interaction. Besides that, you know, it has its own toys. They love cardboard rolls. I mean, her favorite toy out of everything we buy are the end of the toilet paper rolls. And she'll, you know, stick her head in there and run around with the toilet paper roll on her face. But they're really wonderful pets and they're great starter pets.
Well, I thank you very much. And I hope that all of you learned a lot about hedgehogs because they're the cutest little things. Google them. I'm telling you, you're going to love them.
Thanks, Monica.
Thank you. Have a great week. Coming up, looking for a good pet-related mystery? We've got one for you. Stay with us.
It's designerpetsweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. designerpetsweaters.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are so happy to have back with us today best-selling author Sparkle Abby. Sparkle Abby is the pseudonym of two best-selling mystery authors, Mary Lee Woods and Anita Carter. Mary Lee and Anita write the best-selling Pampered Pets mystery series about two amateur sleuths, one a pet therapist and the other a pet boutique owner, who joined forces, well, kind of, to solve mysteries and secrets in the posh Laguna Beach from the first best-selling book in their Pamper Pet Mystery Series, Desperate House Dogs, to their most recent, Barking with the Stars. Miss Olive and I are loyal followers of this dynamic duo. And we want to welcome back to the show Mary Lee Woods and Anita Carter, also known as Sparkle Abby. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We're excited to be with you.
Well, last time we spoke, I learned all about glamping, of course, from Raiders of the Lost Bark. And today we're going to talk about lights, camera, action, about Barking with the Stars, your most recent. It's your ninth book.
It is. Hard to believe.
I know, but Miss Olive and I are thrilled because we are your pampered pets followers, I think, or maybe groupies. I'm not sure which. But one of the interesting things that people probably ask is, how did you come up with the name Sparkle Abby?
So when we started out writing together, we just sort of assumed that we would have our own names on the books. And our publisher said, oh, that's really hard for people to remember two names. So go ahead. So we tried out some different names. Mary Lee Woods, Anita Carter. Carter Woods sounded maybe a little too serious for what we write. And finally landed on the idea of combining our pet names. So Sparkle is my cat and Abby is my dog.
Now, that is ingenious. And, of course, those are two rescue pets, too, which make it even more special.
They are. Yeah. Yep. Yes.
How is, like, co-writing? How does this all work for you both?
We do it a little different and didn't realize that we were kind of different than most collaboration teams in that they write the odd-numbered books and I write the even-numbered books. And then we collaborate on plotting and on critiquing and editing. We share the same setting, share the same secondary characters. But we definitely have different protagonists. So Mary Lee has Caro and I have Mel.
Now, can you tell us a little about the protagonists in here? Because I love them and they're very, very different. But there's a unique sort of tie to the both of them.
There is. So they are cousins. And so when we tried out this idea on the publisher, they liked the idea of a different protagonist in each book. So Caro's the protagonist, as Anita said, in the odd-numbered book, and Mel's the protagonist in the even-numbered book. They are former Texas beauty queens. They have relocated to Laguna Beach, and there's currently a feud over a family brooch. So they aren't really speaking to each other.
I love it. And the book that we're going to be talking about today, of course, Barking with the Stars, is all about Caro. But, you know, I do love Caro and I do love Melinda, Mel, but I am totally obsessed with one of your characters, and it's Betty. Can you tell us about Betty and what was the inspiration for Betty characters?
We love Betty, too. So this is Anita, and Betty is actually based on my boss's grandmother, and she would come to work, and she would talk about her grandma Maxine, and all her crazy antics, and how she picked her doctors based on how good-looking the men were, and that she now lived with my boss's mother, and she did not like to be told what to do. She was 90-something. And she just come up with all these stories. And I said, I would love to base a character on your grandma. Are you okay with that? And she was just so excited because it was a way to have Grandma Maxine live forever. And so that's kind of how Betty came to be. And Betty just kind of takes over the page. She's just one of those characters that you never know what's going to come out of her mouth. And when it comes out, you just roll with it.
And it's true, whatever comes out of her mouth. And it's like the two of them, both Mel and Caro, know. And of course she works with Mel, but she interacts with Caro, and she's kind of like this totally flamboyant, like, I think everyone has one in their family.
Yeah, I think so. If we're lucky enough, we certainly do.
I know, because she is a love. And we touched on another thing that is one of the, I call it one of your characters, actually, because it's played throughout the series, the infamous brooch. Can you tell us about the brooch?
So the brooch is a family brooch that Carol and Melinda's grandmother left to her favorite granddaughter. And they both believe that they're the one. And so they steal the brooch from each other. And it's evolved to, like you said, sort of being a character in the story.
It is. It's like you wonder what's going to happen with the brooch. And it sort of plays its way through the book as like this little extra character. And you're like going, okay, well, where's it going to end up now? So I love the brooch. And, you know, your characters in your books are all, you know, as we talk about Betty, are all very colorful and they're so lively and you just want to hang out with them. But I have to tell you, with Barking with the Stars, and I love the little, your little doggy on the front here, your little Chinese crested there. Oh my gosh. And, but you take kind of like the colorful character to another level because the two of the characters in this that are kind of like main characters are Purple and Lavender. Can you tell us about Purple and Lavender, which are kind of like the stars of Barking with the Stars?
They are. Purple is infamous in that she's a performer who you never see her face.
And I love that.
So she wears this wig, but her dog, Lavender, also is in character and has, you know, it's a Lhasa Apso, so you don't see the face, and is very much a part of her performance and her sort of star persona. And that plays a big part in the mystery.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, I always picture what your characters look like because you're very good with describing what your characters are. And like I said, we always want, Olive and I sit there and we want to hang out with them. But this one, you have like a star-studded event. And I sort of pictured in my mind all these people that are coming there. Let's first let everyone know, because I think we all want to live there. Where is Laguna Beach? Because there's a special thing about Laguna Beach.
There is a special thing about Laguna Beach, and part of the thing that makes it so perfect for the series is in Laguna Beach, there are more dogs than children, more registered dogs.
Lots of dogs.
It's a very, very pet-friendly community, mm-hmm. and is sort of this bubble. When we researched the books and went to Laguna Beach, that was one thing that we heard over and over again, is it this bubble where it is this small community, even though it's very close to large communities.
As we talk about this, and I just want to have everyone know, can you let everyone know where you are from?
Oh, we're from Iowa.
So you're like living in Laguna Beach, like we're all living in Laguna Beach.
We're wishing we were near a beach.
Oh, and I'd love to live there because it's such a pet-friendly place. In this book, and in all your books, you kind of talk about different themes for, you know, whether it be rescue or whatever is going on. But this one you have like a kind of like a service dog veteran theme. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So this one does have a theme with The Warriors for the Paws is the fictional rescue group in the book that uses rescue pets to work with veterans that have PTSD. And so that was a very interesting research part of the book. It's been a very successful program for veterans that are suffering from the effects of PTSD to have these therapy dogs. And so that became a part of the theme for the star-studded event, for the Barking with the Stars.
And I think for us, that was extremely close to our hearts because we're married to veterans.
Oh.
Yeah, Mary Lee's husband is a Marine, and my husband is retired Army. And so they kind of talked about that and the people that they know. And so that really was something that we latched onto and we're really excited to learn more about.
Yeah, I find, and thank your husbands for their service, because I have military in my family, and I know that this, the way you spoke about it and the way, actually, the whole theme of the event is built around it, the way it's all tied in. Of course, there's the little stories that come off on the side there that are, that always keep you going. I mean, I read your books and I can't put it down. It's such a, it's not only a fun read, it's interesting, and there's that mystery in it. So it's great for the pet lovers, because of course there's this wonderful town with all of these animals and these two women who have these jobs that are to die for, little pet jobs. But also it's good for the mystery lover, because you have such a great mystery theme going throughout the book. Actually, there's like sometimes a couple of themes that are going on throughout the book. Why don't you give us like kind of an overview of Barking with the Stars? This is your ninth book, and just kind of tell the readers what to expect.
So in Barking with the Stars, the event is sort of rolling out at the beginning of the book, and Caro's ex-husband has inserted himself and caused some problems for her in terms of letting people think that perhaps she's not on the ball with her pet therapy practice, and casting some doubts there. So he sort of creates some tension at the very beginning, and especially with Purple, who's the star of the event. And then it gets a little more complicated after Purple is found dead and Jeffrey is seen leaving the scene. And so Caro is very, very involved. And Malone, who you know if you've read other mm-hmm. books, is, of course, on the scene right away. And Betty plays a big part this time in sort of that early part of the mystery. So a lot of suspects, and Caro tries to stay uninvolved, but of course can't, and Betty tries to be involved.
She kind of had a very colorful part with one of her big scenes that involved Purple, Caro, Lavender, another one of the characters in the book, Mandy. She just did her own Betty thing.
Well, and like Anita said, sometimes, you know, you just have to, Betty just takes over and you have to just let her go. And that was the case with that particular scene. Betty was just being Betty.
And I love it. That's what kind of keeps, and set aside her eyebrows. And for those of you that are followers of Sparkle Abbey, you'll know what I'm talking about, the eyebrows. If not, you got to get a book. The eyebrows themselves are a story. They are a story in themselves. I don't want to give away anything down the road, but what else is going on in the book?
So also in the book, we have fans of Purple mm-hmm. who dress up like Purple. So we have quite a few people who also look the same as the main star. We also have family things, which sort of, as you know, is a theme of the book. So Caro and Mel are not talking, but doesn't mean they're not involved with each other. And we also have a little complication with Sam, who is out of town most of the book, but still plays a big part in what's going on.
I like Sam. I like Sam. Yeah. And also in the book, you also have a recipe for the pancakes. Yes, that's yummy.
Yes, Caro does apple puff cakes that she takes along sometimes when she's going on her appointments with people who are needing help with their pets. And so we like to include the recipe that she uses.
That's a yummy recipe. I'm going to be making it for my, I'll have to shoot you up how they love it. I'll get all of eating it. For those, and I'm sure that you have tons of them, for us Pampered Pet Mystery groupies here, do you have anything up coming up on the horizon?
Finishing up book 10, tentatively titled The Dog Father.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And, this one is going to bring Mel and Gray to have to actually work together.
That should be interesting.
Yes. And, of course, Betty is right in the middle of that, creating all the tension and conflict and butting her nose into things that, of course, she shouldn't but can't help herself. She thinks she may want to get her private investigator license. And so that's a whole story in itself.
That's Betty?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Yeah, she's convinced she would make a really good PI.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and she'd be so inconspicuous.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love it. I can't wait. When is there like an estimated date that's coming out?
Next year, hopefully. Yep.
Oh, good. We'll have to have you back on to talk about that. Now, for the listeners who I'm sure are intrigued by all of these wonderful characters that we're talking about and the books, of course, that we love, can you just tell us, because this is the 9th book, can you give the names, give the titles of your other books?
So the first book was Desperate House Dogs, and then Get Fluffy, and then Kitty Kitty Bang Bang. Book 4 is Gift Talk, and then 50 Shades of Greyhound.
Love it.
The Girl with the Dachshund Tattoo, and then Downtown Tabby, and then Raiders of the Lost Ark, and then finally, Barking with the Stars is the latest.
You know, I love your theme because it all has a little takeoff, and they're very catchy, and they're easy to remember, and I know because I have your books like stacked in my little bookcase, and as people come to visit and they look, they peruse through my library to borrow things, they are like reading the titles, and they love them. It's like so they're catchy, adorable, and you guys deliver the product wonderfully.
Well, thank you.
And I have to thank you. I have to thank you for sharing such pet-friendly mysteries because we love them. And also, you know, it's really great for, as I said before, someone who's a pet lover and also for someone who is just a mystery lover. I mean, they're great mysteries. And I also have to thank you. You have issues running through there that are current, that are even when Caro had the problem because Jeffrey had done something with, and it affected her ratings, her reviews, that's a current situation that's going on. I know that it was just on the news here about one of, you know, people being able to put in reviews for people that maybe not be 100% good. So, I mean, that touches on that there. Poor Caro. I'll give her a good review. I wish she was here. I'd have her be one of my pet therapists. So thank you for doing that. But also, where can the listeners go to learn more about you, to learn more about all your books, to find where they can purchase Barking with the Stars and all of your other books?
So all of the information is available on our website, which is just sparkleabby.com.
I want to thank you again, and I can't wait to have you on again so that we could talk about, did you say The Dog Father?
Yes.
I can't wait. I already have in my head how it's all going to be played out. So thank you so much, and please, everyone, get Barking with the Stars. It's a must read for pet lovers and mystery lovers. I know you're going to love it. And the cover, again, as always, you ladies outdo yourselves with the covers. The cover art is absolutely beautiful. So
we're always a little surprised by it. The publisher does just a great job of capturing the feel.
Yes, it's beautiful. And, you know, as I said, Miss Olive and I are total groupies. And Miss Olive loves it so much, she is going to have it as one of her favorite things in the January-February issue of Suncoast Pet Magazine. So
that's wonderful.
Yes, we love it. So, well, I thank you both very much. Thank you, Mary Lee. Thank you, Anita. And, can you just, for the readers who may not know how to spell, can you just spell out your website so that everyone knows about Sparkle Abby?
Absolutely. Sparkle, S-P-A-R-K-L-E, and Abby, A-B-B-E-Y.
Perfect.
So sparkleabby.com.
And when you go there, you won't be let down. You would love it. So, well, again, thank you very much. And you ladies have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you.
You too.
We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, Doggy Diva Show listeners. Susan Marie here to take just a half a minute to let you know how much we appreciate your being with us every week to hear great dog tips you can use with your pet, some great stories about rescues, fostering, and some heartwarming stories about second chances for pets who are now in loving forever homes. Be sure to go to our website, thedoggydiva.com, to see pictures of Miss Olive and other dogs we talk about on the show and get to know us a little better. That's thedoggydiva.com, D-O-G-G-Y. We appreciate your feedback, too. Okay, let's get back to the show. Next up, the latest about a disease that affects pets and humans from an award-winning veterinarian. Stay with us.
You think that you're rescuing them, but honestly, they're going to end up rescuing you. You don't know what they've gone through, and they're not going to be perfect. And they are so happy that you are taking a chance on them to be a part of your family. I urge you to go down to your local shelters, pounds, dog rescues, foundations, you name it, and rescue a dog. Once you get your rescue dog, you should definitely order some DinoVite. Go online and order it. DinoVite.com. DinoVite. It's awesome stuff. 90 days of DinoVite will make your dog a happy dog. It will help them with their overall health. You don't need to spend thousands on vet bills. DinoVite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course. Call 859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. And we are here with Dr. Michael Reinhart from Jacaranda Animal Hospital. Now, Dr. Reinhart, there have been some questions out there about a disease that affects humans and our pets. And I know that my pet, Sophia, the doggy diva, had it. And it's Cushing's disease. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, but I don't want to make you laugh now, okay? Okay, all right. Yes, Cushing's disease is not really a silent disease, but it is sometimes difficult to see that you've got it. There's a couple of things that are pretty obvious, and that is they're peeing a lot and they're drinking a lot. Cushing's disease is a production of steroids in excess of what they should have from the adrenal gland. And it's typically 99.6% of these are going to be a small tumor in the pituitary gland producing a stimulating hormone to the adrenal gland to make steroids. The 0.4% that's a problem is you could actually have a tumor on the adrenal gland, which is a much more difficult issue. Clinical signs are typically they drink a lot, they pee a lot, they have a tremendous appetite, they are probably gaining weight, they may start to lose hair. And another clinical sign that I've just recently been dealing with is they can pant a lot. And I have a lot of people come in with older dogs, and dogs are panting, and the issue, we take an x-ray, and the issue is this is either Cushingoid disease or it's old dog lung, which we can't do very much about because it's just an old dog lung. The problem with the disease is trying to prove it. It's expensive blood work to run, and that's the problem. It has become expensive because the drugs we have to use to do it have more than quadrupled in cost, and that's a big-time problem for us. But one of the easiest things to do is do a urine sample initially, which is a lot less expensive, for something called a creatinine cortisol. And that's a ratio. And if the ratio is less than 13, there's no way that your dog's got this disease. If it's more than 13, it's highly suggestive of the disease, but not definitive for it. And that's where you got to get into the expensive blood work. But there is a drug that we use for this that competes for the production of steroids, and it solves the problem. But we need to go through blood tests, and then you do the blood test to prove that this is the disease you got. You put them on the drug. 2 weeks later, you got to do that blood test again to see if the levels have come down to normal. And somewhere within a month to 2 months later, you got to run the blood test again to make sure the levels stay there because you are actually competing for the production of a steroid that is needed for life. And if you do it in excess, you are going to go the opposite direction and you're going to cause a disease called Addisonian crisis, which is not enough steroids. And we did it. So you have to track that blood, which is why it's expensive to do, but you have to do that.
Well, I remember when we had Sophia, it was very expensive, and the blood tests we had to keep doing. And also, there was a medication that she was on, and I'm not sure if they still use it anymore, that had a side effect which could have liver effects. Do they still use that drug?
Actually, the Cushnoid syndrome side effect, for me, from a medical point of view, I'm not as worried about the fact that the dog's peeing more and drinking more and he's losing hair. I'm more concerned about the fact that steroids affect the liver, and I have had, I can think of two liver cases that I had that we couldn't figure out what was going on, and we decided to do something which is aggressive that we don't normally do, which was to go in and get a biopsy, and both of those biopsies came back as consistent with Cushnoid syndrome. Who would have thought, okay? You probably should check Cushnoid syndrome before you do liver biopsies, okay? But that causes the liver issue. The older drug that we used to use and no longer really do use, there are three areas in the adrenal gland, separate areas. One makes sexual hormones, one makes cushionoid, one makes cortisol, and then there's another area that's responsible for electrolytes. The first drug that we used to have would actually go to that gland and destroy the gland, destroy that area that made the steroids. However, it could also destroy the other areas as well. And, it became a problem. And that could potentially cause liver issues too, I believe. But this drug that we have now doesn't destroy anything. It actually competes for the production of the steroid, and it's safer. There are side effects to all drugs, okay? I have not had any serious side effects to this drug. The biggest side effect is costs.
Well, and when it comes to Cushing's disease, I know there's a lot of cost, there's a lot of maintenance, there's a lot of follow-up, but it does sound like the medications that they're using now have certainly progressed from when we had it years ago with Sophia. I mean, it was something she put on a lot of weight, and, like you said, the frequent urination and the panting. So these are things that people need to look for. If they're and to visit their vet to make sure that it's not Cushing. And at the time, I don't think that I even knew about the urine test, which I think would save a lot.
Yes, that's why I do it. I mean, the urine test on average in most labs is like $70, okay? And I run that test not to prove you've got Cushnoid syndrome, but to disprove you've got it, okay? And then we just stop, okay? In most cases, it's high and it's excessive that we do the blood test, but... Yeah, the panting is an issue. And, I mean, drinking a lot and peeing a lot, yeah, there's a lot of things you got to be thinking about that's causing your animal to drink a lot and pee a lot. A lot of them. You got to rule them all out, and Cushnoid is one of them. And the urine test is the safest and cheapest way to go.
Now, for the listeners, one more time, what are the symptoms and, how quickly should they visit their vet when they see these symptoms?
The most common symptom for somebody to bring their animal in to be seen is they're drinking a lot and they're peeing a lot. And like I said, there's a ton of things we have to be looking for that. Diabetes and a whole bunch of other things, too. There's a weight gain problem. There's a certain conformation. I mean, like I said, this is not a silent disease, but it is something that is not always readily diagnosed. And a real learned practitioner typically can just look at this dog and look at this dog's conformation, the hanging belly, the fat disposition that's on the dog, and pretty much know you probably have a Cushnoid dog. There is a fat deposition on the right at the tail head that we affectionately call Bertha butt. That it hangs over, and if you've got that, you've got a Cushnoid dog. Okay, but the drinking a lot and peeing a lot is the more common thing people complain about. The panting is something people always complain about, and my problem is I may not have a result for that unless it's Cushnoid, because if it's an old dog lung, it's an old dog lung. I have that with my dog right now. I can't change that.
Well, I know that when she had it, she'd put on so much weight, and she was a small dog, and she got up to 22 pounds, and she was only like 11 pounds, and... people would always say, what's the matter with your dog? You know, because her head was very small and the rest of her body had turned very big. And she kind of looked like a tick. And it was very sad because I had to say, no, she has Cushing's disease. She has Cushing's disease. And someone I was very upset. Someone said, her dog looks like a coffee table. And that's because a little Sophie, she was a little wide. Like you said, they get that wideness.
Well, as I say to all clients, your objective is to have a rectangular dog, not a round dog.
And that's what it does.
If you have a Kushner dog, you're going to have a round dog. Okay.
I felt like she needed to wear a little sign that said, I'm not fat, I have Cushing's disease.
It's not me, it's the disease.
So, well, Dr. Reinhardt, thank you very much. I know that some people have asked me about it. In reading Sophie's history, they have found out that she had this, and they're asking me what the symptoms are, what to look for, you know, and how will it change the appearance of the dog. And I think that you pretty much answered all those questions.
Yeah, and like I said, the inexpensive way to try to see what's there is to do the the creatinine cortisol urine test, and that you're doing that not to prove they've got it, but to prove they don't have it, and then you stop. If it's suggestive that you have it, then you need to do the blood work to prove it.
So if your pet, of course, these are symptoms for anything, but if they have frequent urination, if they're drinking a lot, or if you see weight gain and a lot of panting, definitely get to your vet right away. Yeah. It could be something else, but it could be Cushing's disease.
And if your dog is getting around, there could be a lot of things that's causing that, like Bernays sauce on the food. But who knows? I just guess at these things sometime when I talk to clients.
All right, thank you very much, and we'll be talking to you next month.
Okay, thank you.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Miss Olive, and she has another one of her holiday gift guide suggestions. It's perfect for children and adults. This is author, illustrator Rebecca Phillips, and she uses the world of animals to impact a unique character quality to the readers. And Rebecca, she writes these heartfelt books with plush toys of the characters that are in her story. They're so beloved, they're so cute, and they're wonderful, again, for children. But I have one. Olive has one. We have them as adults, and it's lovely and very thoughtful. Her initial book, Piper Was Afraid, is about a giant Irish wolfhound who, despite his large size, is scared of everything. And he learns that, you know, when you're like that and when you're scared of everything, you may miss out on a lot of fun adventures in life, which is a great learning tool for children. And then her second book, Lily the Fancy Poo, is about a Maltese puppy from Sarasota, Florida, who learns that love is what matters most of all. She goes through a few turmoils in her life, and love is what matters most of all. You're going to love these books. I love them. Rebecca's been a guest on our show. She's going to be on again around the new year, and I just want to let you know that she has a 15% discount through January 1st, and you can go to pawspublishing.etsy.com. And to learn more about Rebecca, to learn more about Piper and Lily, please go to www.pawspublishing.com. That's P-A-W-Z, pause. So thank you, Rebecca, for all that you do. You have such great books, and you're such a beautiful illustrator. And again, if you want to learn more about Rebecca or learn more about Piper and Lily, please go to www.pausepublishing.com. Thanks, and have a great holiday, everyone. We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.